and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Yes, the man was correct in that lofty introduction, as my name is Pedro Fernandez and you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. 35, make that 36 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Straight up. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer will be here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk boxing. Of course, there's a big slate of boxing as far as Saturday's TV's schedule is concerned. Of course, boxing on ESPN, Frampton Comes Alive, boxing on Showtime. And we've also got David Benavidez. We'll talk about him, the former WBC super middleweight champion. One of my favorite guys, not per se, but we'll get into a deep discussion on him and where his career is going. Of course, not making weight last night for this big fight tonight. Straight up, a monumental mistake for a young man at his age. But then again, he's made a lot of mistakes. But who hasn't? Straight up, open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio and, say what you want. I mean, let it go. You can get stuff that you can't say on the radio. You can say in text. 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. We've got a new date for Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Bad news for Roy Jones, the fight's still on. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, and of course live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This is Ring Talk.
People look alike, but you know what's got to be the easiest job in the world? Has got to be one of those police sketch artists in Hong Kong. I mean, come on. No matter who you decide to draw.
That's the guy.
Of course that's the guy. He's 5'1", he's got a haircut like Mo, and he's Chinese. What have we narrowed it down to? 1 billion people? We should find him by sunset.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Bobby Slayton there, little Asian fun. The reason why I brought that up and had this cut man play that was the Asians are the only one taken as a group, as an ethnic group. They're the only ones taking this virus really seriously. Everybody else is sort of lagging. I mean, the Latino community, they look like they're pretty stupid. You drive into the Mission District here in San Francisco, and like half these people don't have masks on walking down the street. And I'll say half, maybe 40%. That's a large number, okay? And then you've got the adamant white folks that just don't want to believe in the virus, okay? And you've got some black folks, I don't know, maybe they can't afford the masks or whatever is going on. But the bottom line is people of color are dying at a rate of 2-1. People not white are dying at a rate of 2-1 over white. So what I'm trying to tell you is, folks, wake up. This is not a joke. Please, this is not a joke. Speaking of jokes, had a colonoscopy this week. Oh, boy. First, I had the COVID-19 virus test, and that was a bit of an experience. I sat in the car for about 90 seconds, and I just drove up, and they said, who are you? And I said, I'm so-and-so, and basically I rolled down my window, and they stuck this Q-tip in my nose and my mouth a couple times, and that was it. It was done, okay? And 8 hours later, boom, I had the test results back as being negative, of course. Then a couple of days later, a day later, we have the colonoscopy, of course, at the University of California in San Francisco, like the 7th-ranked hospital in the country. Anyway, bottom line was the colonoscopy was a breeze, but they did find a polyp. And they found, this is like my fourth colonoscopy in my lifetime now, and they found polyps each time. And polyps can lead to colon cancer. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're avoiding colonoscopies, don't avoid them because they can save your life. Straight up, that's just the way it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. You know, as a little social reminder, as I was driving in today, I've seen more and more people camped out on San Francisco streets. I don't know if it's the pandemic is forcing more people out on the streets, but you can see new tents. I mean, that's how crazy San Francisco is. You can see new tents on the street. People in new tents. In other words, you know, instead of new houses, new tents. New designer tents on the streets of San Francisco. I kid you not. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's get back to the subject at hand. David Benavidez, WBC Super Middleweight Champion. No more. 22-0, 19 KOs. Of course, they sort of took away his title where he was on vacation for a while because he had a coke problem. And I'm not talking about, you know, the fizz stuff, the Coca-Cola where you drink it. I'm talking about cocaine, Colombian dust. Bottom line is David had a Colombian dust problem. He was only like, you know, 21, 22 years old. And everybody says, give him a pass, give him a pass. He can't give him a pass. If he's stupid enough to be messing around with blow and he's on top of the world, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's not. We're not talking about some bum, some stiff. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a WBC champion, and he's doing blow, and his prime has not even approached him yet. So anyway, they sort of like takes a vacation from the title, and he gets the title back per se, and then they slide him. They put him into a fight with Romer Angulo. Comes in at 20, not Alfredo Angulo, another Angulo. Romer Angulo comes in at 26-1. With 22, that one loss was to Gilberto Ramirez, and I think he was the WBO cruiserweight title holder or light heavyweight title holder at the time. I can't remember exactly what title it was. Anyway, Benavidez, 22-0, 19 wax, missed weight. Said he couldn't take off the last 3.5 pounds wouldn't come off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, this is all about discipline, okay? I never missed weight in my entire life. Okay. If you had to take off the weight, you took it off. You never went down to the scale not knowing you were at weight. Never. I mean, you just never did. It's never, like, you don't have the surprise that the team of Wilfredo Gomez's corner had when they weighed him in against Salvador Sanchez that morning in 1982 when he weighed 130 pounds on the scale and he was supposed to weigh 126. And they put him to bed at 125 and a half. Okay. So it wasn't like that. Bottom line is, Benavidez, young, undisciplined, had the coke problem before, didn't make weight this time. What can I say? Maybe it's time to just write him off. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. And now we bring it to, take it to the Bronx, folks, and bring in, and I think I read his text right, so I want to start this one off. Now, did you tell me you guys are going to have a boy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then congratulations are in order. Right on, my brother. Socrates Palmer, boxing PhD.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate
about to about to bring a male offspring. Right on, man. I'm blown away. Tell me.
Yeah, you know, hopefully everything goes well and my wife is due in January. So, you know, just praying for a good, healthy baby boy.
There was a rumor. Maybe you can like disavow this or confirm or whatever. But there was a rumor that during the pandemic, a lot of people like spent a lot of time together. Was that what happened here?
Well, yeah. Well, the proof is in the pudding, I guess, right? You know?
It is. Big, yeah. Big night, yeah. Of boxing night. I just talked about David Benavidez, 22, and Zip missing weight by 3 pounds. People say, man, it's only 3 pounds. Well, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot. 3 pounds is a lot of weight. And the fact that he refused to take it off, I mean, how can I put this? The guy is just, he's not the real deal, is he?
It's really disappointing to see someone with so much talent and a guy that's a really good, good television fighter just kind of, you know, piss it all away, you know, I can't think of anything else. I mean, the guy has, he's 6'1" frame fighting at super middleweight and he throws about 100 punches a round and the guy could punch. Such a disappointment. I saw the pictures of, I mean, not, he never had an Adonis type body, but he just looked like, he looked the way, like I look right now, you know what I mean? With the gyms being closed, like he just flabby, just real undisciplined. The cocaine problem they had about 2 years ago, it's just a reflection of a guy that doesn't have his priorities straight, you know, and, you know, you can only get by on raw talent and youth for so long, and the fight's still going to happen. He's fighting a guy that's Colombian, and Colombian fighters have one thing in common. They all can punch, and they're all pretty tough. So you know, if he's out of shape the way he appeared to be, he could get put to sleep.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, let's toss the cokehead aside. Cecilia Brakes is going to be on DAZN, and she's like considered a woman's welterweight champion. She's like a pretty good fighter. I don't know if I've watched too many of her fights. She's taking on Jessica McCaskill. Will she change my opinion on female boxing?
I mean, what's your opinion of female boxing?
That it's like watching grass grow.
If they could do things to help improve women's boxing, I've said this for a while, if they use smaller gloves, I mean, in all the other female sports, they adjust it to their physical anatomies. In women's basketball, they use a smaller basketball. Golf clubs for women are smaller. You know, it's no matter how much in shape or how strong a woman is, you're still a woman. And if you use smaller gloves, which you wouldn't get basically a pillow fight for 30 minutes. And that's what you get a lot of times, and it's boring. And if you compare women's MMA to women's boxing, it blows you away. I mean, a woman's MMA match in UFC is a legit main event, you know, because they're using smaller gloves and there seems to be more parity. Cecilia Brakes has the honor of actually being the last fight on HBO. So, you know, that could be her legacy. She's dominated the scene. She's originally out of Norway, and German based, and mm-hmm. she's been phenomenal. She's had a great career, and it is what it is, you know.
Last fight card on the bill for today, of course, Frampton comes alive. Is he coming alive again?
I mean, I think it's a nice stay busy. I mean, Carl Frampton's had a really good career and actually one of the best fighters of this generation. Two-time champion, I believe. He's fighting someone that you figure he wouldn't have much trouble against, but he's 33 years old. I'm sure he's trying to get one more big, title fight. He's with Top Rank. There's a few guys out there that a fight could be made. Maybe Shakur Stevenson on the line. Who knows? But Carl Frampton is actually one of my favorites. He throws a lot of punches. He comes in shape. And he's just a really well-schooled fighter. You know.
And he's fighting a guy who I'm going to have a problem with his name, but I'll call him Varam Vadahan. Bottom line is that's tonight, ESPN. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break.
Coming down here. I did too. I told my mother to tell you if you called that I was over at the Flip Wilson show to see Muhammad Ali. That's right. The heavyweight champ. Now I'm standing right next to him. Well, not that close. Yes. You want to talk to him? You want to say something to Killer?
How you feeling, Killer?
Yes. He said, how you feel, Killer? Killer said, drop dead. He must have one of them Excedrin headaches. Yes. Oh, Killer, he don't want to talk to you anymore.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I wanted to do the right thing.
The Meat Space Soul here as far as music is concerned. Of course, Muhammad Ali just doing his thing there with Flip Wilson. I think Flip was playing the Geraldine role there. Of course, he was infamous for playing a drag queen before it was sort of like hip to do so on television. This in the 1970s. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, a new date. Is there a new date because of injuries here boxing's PAC, Socrates Palmer, is that what's going on here? Did one guy get hurt?
I haven't heard anything like that. My only guess is they're probably thinking that they could try to get some people in there to see it, in, you know, in person. That's the only thing I could think of. November 28th, it's still slated to happen in California, mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, but do you think there's a shot here that the Zone's going to come with a surprise Canelo card in a minute? That's why September 12th had to go?
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's right. That's normally been the date reserved for Canelo the last couple of years, around the Mexican Independence Day, mm-hmm. Which is the, you know, almost the unofficial boxing holiday. That probably is a bigger reason, you know, other than them trying to get fans to see it. You know, I believe that they are probably trying to get a live gate, and hopefully, you know, November 28th, they're able to do that. If not, at least it gives more time to marinate. You know, I mean, it's getting a lot of attention as it is, and you just hope that when it does happen, you know, the world's in a better atmosphere.
Okay, so they changed it to the Thanksgiving week, like 2 days after Thanksgiving. Is that a precursor or something like that to, like, this is going to be a turkey? I mean, because bottom line is we're talking about an exhibition here. I mean, and although I've taken part in some exhibitions that have been like death matches, okay, with big gloves on, and then I've taken part in other exhibitions when, like, we're like touching each other, like feeling each other, like we're like on our first date or something like that. So an exhibition could go either way. And I just don't know how this one's going to go. I know that Mike's got a big ego, and Roy's not going to want to get knocked out. And, I mean, how does this play out?
Right, and then I read some stipulation that there will be no knockouts, or if you have your opponent hurt, they're going to really step in. I don't know how it's going to play out either. I don't think anyone knows for sure. I don't – you know, the old cliche is you don't play boxing, and maybe it's a love fest until someone either hits somebody a little too hard, or, I mean, let's face it, Roy Jones, you don't expect him to stand toe-to-toe against Mike Tyson. And if he does have any chance, it's going to be to use his legs, and maybe he frustrates Mike, and then that frustration turns into anger, and, you know, that's when things get heated. You know, it's... They're two, like you said, very ego-driven individuals. Now, the one thing I was thinking of is that Mike is in a happy place in his life, or at least he appears to be. And his children now are at an age that are impressionable, and they know their father by the legend of what is Mike Tyson and what they've seen on tapes. But they're going to get a chance to see their father do his thing in the ring. And I don't think Mike is going to want to disappoint his kids. So I could see, you know, Mike, you know, going into, you know, from a different gear and just doing what he does. And that's stopping Roy Jones, probably in a very ugly manner. And hopefully it's nothing that will damage them permanently.
You know, but it's still exhibition. It's sort of like it can go so many different ways. It just
can go left, yeah.
I mean... The guy, I remember being shaking. I did an exhibition with Carlos De Leon, and I was shaking. My legs were, I didn't want to look down at him because I knew they were shaking, okay? And Carlos was the biggest gentleman, may he rest in peace, former WBC Cruiserweight Champion, but when the title was at 190, I think. Anyway, he was the biggest gentleman you can ever imagine in your life. He was a great guy. He didn't hurt me or anything like that. And it was an exhibition. You know what I'm saying? We worked together. Then there were other exhibitions where people were throwing elbows and hitting you low. And then one time I remember turning around and some guy hitting me in the back of the head. So, I mean, exhibitions they can go a lot of different ways. Most of the time, it ain't entertaining is what I'm trying to say.
Right. I know they've happened in Mexico a few times. Chavez has taken part in some. I think he fought Jorge Arce, I think once or twice, and I think they're going to do it again. You know, I guess it depends on the relationship that you have with the guy in front of you. You know, I mean, if you're friends, I mean, you've sparred friends all the time, and you know, sparring is to learn and improve. But at this stage, I mean, it's not really for, you know, for improving. Or I guess it's just to satisfy the bank accounts, you know, the ego, one last time in the spotlight, and you know, hey, it's getting attention. It's getting as much attention as a title fight. Maybe some active fighters may feel a certain way that they're taking away the spotlight from them. So there's a lot of ways you could look at it. I think, though, for the most part, no one wants to see anyone get hurt. And, you know, I hope it does happen, and I hope it's competitive.
I just got somebody that shot me a text. There's no way they could put a Canelo fight together in less than a month. I was thinking it was already together. They were just waiting to announce it. But according to a recent release coming from them as of yesterday, he's not going to be fighting September 12th. He's training hard with Golden Boy, but he will not be fighting on September the 12th. Middleweight champion, one of the middleweight title holders, Jermell Charlo, is going to be defending against Sergey, you know who, Sergey D, September 26th. Is this the better Charlo brother?
You know, at one point I was really high on the Charlos. I don't think either one of them is really, quote unquote, better than the other. They're kind of like about the same right now. Devchenko's a, you know, he was the guy that got robbed against Gennady Golovkin. So I expect a very competitive and hopefully same motivated fighter as it was against Golovkin. Maybe not so, because he's, you know, Golovkin is a fellow former Soviet Union fighter, maybe some sort of rivalry, and Derevchenko brought it up a notch. Yeah. You know, who knows if he's going to have the same against Charlo.
Okay.
Two different fighters.
Speaking of Lomachenko, you brought up Lomachenko. Looks like he and Teofimo Lopez are going to go in Las Vegas October the 17th. Evidently, he took somewhat of a pay cut in order to make this fight happen, the champion, Vasyl Lomachenko. Is that true?
Well, it's going down, right? October the 17th is the tentative date?
Yep.
Hey, you know, at this point, it's got to be the fight of the year, or the most anticipated fight. And it's a fight that Lopez has been calling for almost over a year, you know, and it's really, he said it himself, it's personal. He has disrespected Lomachenko in public. His father has said things that, you know, you're like, you know, he said that he'd be surprised if it goes the distance. Just real ballsy and brash. But, you know, the moment the truth will come, you know, Lomachenko is borderline legendary at this point. I mean, he's probably the best lightweight we've had since Pernell Whitaker, and that's saying a lot, considering the fact that guys like Pacquiao and Marquez fought at lightweight, Shane Mosley, and he's in the conversation, you know, at least as of now, the way he's just gobbled up everything from 122 up. He's a dog. He likes to fight. He's a defensive wizard, and hopefully he brings out the best in Lopez. And because Lopez is young, hungry, and I'm picking him. Okay. I'm picking the upset.
In less than a minute, Bob Arum at 87 is still knocking out all bums, isn't he?
That's amazing. Yeah, I hope when I'm 87, I have the same type of energy. Bob Arum is a legend. You know, him and Don King. The last of the dying breed, and he's still around.
He's still on top.
Yes, he's still got the best fighters in the game. That's crazy.
I mean, he's 87 years old, former United States attorney, of course, in the Kennedy administration. Back when President John F. Kennedy was president, he was part of the U.S. Justice Department. Talk about promoter Bob Arum, an undersecretary. What title he had. I couldn't believe it. Bottom line is, Bob Arum's got some big background, of course, 87 years old, still rocking, still knocking out all bumps, as is you, Socrates Palmer. Have a great weekend. Say hello to the agent and the wife.
Thank you for the kind words, sir. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
Soon to be father of a baby boy. That's my man, Socrates Palmer. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Decision now. Let's listen.
clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
You sure looking good.
I'm married.
Is she here with you?
No, she's not here. She's home with the children, but I'm married.
Oh, well, can't win them all. Win some, lose some. You know, you look a lot like Killer. You got that big husky. The Killer used to be a fighter, too. Yeah, they called him Sweet Chariot. Because he was always swinging low. Now, look at that man there. Ain't got a scar. You look better than you do on the television. You look better than that. How'd you like to lose 5 pounds real fast?
We'll lose 5 pounds the night we get Joe Frazier.
You got, at least look, 5 pounds. Now, let me tell you, I wanted to mention that to you. Come over here. I don't want them near. This is between me and you. You know, now I know you got to fight the man. You all got to fight and drag off them Charlies. Yes, but don't hurt him. Don't hurt him because he's one of us. You know, just fight him a few rounds. You got to fight him. People expecting a fight. So go on and fight him a few rounds and then later on just do what you got to do. But don't hurt him, because he's one of us. Maybe I'll go light on you, too. Yes, I wanted to meet you a long time. What are they looking at? I'm talking to you, and they're looking at me. That guy there, he tried to come up on the stage a couple weeks ago and manhandle me. I said, man, are you crazy? You won't try nothing now. I got the champ with me. That's right. Here's the killer.
I thought I could talk, but I met my match.
Muhammad Ali and Geraldine, of course, a.k.a. Flip Wilson, circa 1971, prior to the first fight with Joe Frazier. Of course, that took place March 8th, 1971. The UFC is rocking and rolling. Of course, they're talking about GSP coming back. We had him on the show a few weeks ago, and he said he told DMZ that he wasn't coming back, that he's 40 years old. He didn't want to go through the pain and the rigorous training. Of course, he would need to come back, be it at 170 pounds. He says he could make 155. Of course, consider maybe the greatest MMA fighter of all time. Of course, Canadian. I think he lost one fight and he avenged that one loss. So the bottom line is he's an amazing athlete, but he's 40 years old. And in this sport, of course, UFC, man, anything goes, you know, elbows and wrestling and boxing and you name it. Anything goes. And this guy, although he's got a good wrestling base and he's a decent striker and he's not the greatest stand-up guy in the world. I'm talking about GSP. Him coming back against Khabib. I'm talking about the current lightweight champion. Of course, he's got a fight in between. But this is supposed to be Khabib's finale. He wants to finish a fight, his career, with a fight with GSP, George St. Pierre, of course, the legend. And the legend says he won't come back. The bottom line is the legend is training. I got my boy in Canada, and he tells me that the legend is training, that GSP is taking this seriously, and that he will fight Khabib in 2021 at 170 pounds. Not 155, 170 pounds. Of course, he was the former welterweight champion, stepped up to 185 and beat Michael Bisping for the 185-pound middleweight championship. And boy, was I dead wrong there when I said that Bisping would ragdoll him. I said, Michael Bisping will ragdoll GSP. GSP has, but GSP licked him like a stamp, man. It wasn't even close. Speaking of stamps, tonight they're doing it for the third time. We'll talk about Stipe Miocic, the world UFC heavyweight title holder. Of course, 205 pounds or more. The limit is 265 pounds as far as the top end of the heavyweight division in the world of mixed martial arts is concerned. He's taking on Daniel Cormier. Of course, Cormier is the former light heavyweight champion, the former heavyweight champion, the only man to ever beat Miocic. He knocked him out. and basically boxing style. And Miocic considered the better boxer, considering he's a former Golden Gloves champion and this and that. So at the end of the day, Cormier beat Miocic at his own game, which I thought was a bit of a stunner. That's what I thought. Well, that's what I took away from that second fight so much. But of course, I mean the first fight. Of course, the second fight, Miocic wins and he comes back with those body shots. I mean, just body shotted that fat boy to death. He just did. Kept hitting him in the gut. And you know, he hit him in the gut about 8 or 10 times. And guess what? Cormier was had nothing left. And of course, he would fade and he would fail and he would lose the heavyweight championship. Why they're doing it a third time is because I guess they don't want to put Miocic in with Francis Ngannou on short notice. I think that's the fight they want to build up as being the super fight. Of course, Ngannou, the twice beaten, I think he's lost 2 or 3 fights. Lost a fight early on, and then he lost to Derek Lewis, and then of course he lost a championship fight to Miocic. He lost 2 in a row. He lost Miocic and then Lewis. But, he's got his act together, and pound for pound, he is the hardest hitting man I've ever seen in my life. Ever in my life. So, what I'm trying to tell you is with 4 ounce gloves, he can knock out anybody. He'll punch you so hard. I just don't know how to explain his punching power to him. Anyway, tonight's card, Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champion of the world, defending against Daniel Cormier. The co-feature, a good talker, Sean O'Malley. I've had him featured, on Ring Talk before. Good fighter, a bantamweight, 135 pounds. Sort of like a goth type of guy with tattoos maybe and all kinds of good stuff. Taking on the veteran Marlon Vera. Good luck on that one. Of course, this is considered about an even fight. Maybe Mally's a slight favorite. Junior Dos Santos, the former heavyweight champion of the world. A man, of course, that, man, you know, he took care of business. I mean, he went into Mexico as far as the high altitude was concerned. He was going to fight Cain Velasquez, and he went in there 6 or 8 weeks in advance. And, of course, Velasquez comes in a week before, cocky, coming into 9,000 feet altitude, and guess what happened? He got gassed, like during the referee's instructions. So before long, of course, Cain Velasquez would lose the heavyweight championship, something he held not once but twice. And of course, he lost it the first time because of injuries, or didn't lose it per se, but because of injuries, he wasn't able to be champion anymore. Anyway, the bottom line is, he's done. We saw that last fight he had. And of course, then he signs with the WWE, which I thought was a good move, because I saw some Lucha Libre stuff with Cain Velasquez, and he really fit the role of the Lucha Libre. I mean, he was flying around the ring and all this kind of good stuff. I'm saying to myself, man, this guy's like, what a metamorphosis from MMA fighter to Lucha Libre fighter. You know what? You don't have to be getting, you don't get hurt that much in professional wrestling as you do in MMA. No, really? So I think that it would be good for him if this Kane considered that a career. But then the WWE evidently cut him. So they cut all these guys. And what they did was, and it cracks me up, is that they signed these contracts with the WWE, Vince McMahon. They signed these contracts with him, and they're basically 90-day contracts. He goes, I signed a 5-year contract. Yeah, but you got 90-day options in there. So you signed a 5-year contract with 90-day options. In other words, he can cut you off in 90 days and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what he did with a lot of the talent. A lot of the talent that went were on the, I have a 5-year career. You have a 5-year contract, a 3-year contract. Yeah, well, unless you're John Cena or one of those people, guess what? The contract ain't that good. It's just not that good. Bottom line is Vince McMahon is a master as far as making money is concerned, but I think his product has gone in the toilet. I don't know anybody. I mean, I hear the Wrestling Observer show before me, and they get great ratings, but outside of the people on that show, I don't hear anybody talking about the WWE, per se, as far as sports entertainment is concerned. It just doesn't have the grab anymore. Back to this UFC card now. Junior Dos Santos, former champion, taking on a stiff. And, well, you know, let's not call him a stiff. Let's call him a mark. When I call a guy, what I mean by a mark is a guy that's a stiff, but he's going to lose. Jazarenko Rozenek. Jazarenko Rozenduk. He's going to lose. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Junior Dos Santos is probably going to hit him on the chin. It's going to be gone. The guy's a stand-up fighter, a stand-up type of boxer. Had a lot of fights. 85 fights, 76 wins. I think he's lost 8 times. I mean, the experience is there, but, you know, and he's 64 knockouts. So I guess if he hits Junior Dos Santos on the chin, I guess that's what this is going to boil down to. Who hits who on the chin first, as far as Junior Dos Santos or this young man? Personally, I think he's a stiff. I think they're trying to build Dos Santos up for one more run. We'll see what happens with that Of course, that's tonight on UFC. UFC, what is he, 254 now? Anyway, the bottom line is the UFC is rocking in his pimp world. Of course, we'll talk about the pimp being Dana White. That's my opinion. Of course, the whores are the UFC fighters per se. They're fighting for nickels and dimes when the UFC is a $4.2 billion entity. That's right. It sold for $4,200 million. And yet, when you break all that money down, that $4,200 million, guess what? You break down the UFC dollar per se, like, you know, the UFC, let's say the UFC cost $50 on the pay-per-view, all right? Cost $50 on the, no, say it's 100. Let's make it even 100 bucks would be easy. So it costs $100 to watch the UFC on pay-per-view. How much is a fighter getting? Take a look at that. I mean, think about that. How much is a fighter getting? These guys are getting nothing. Some of these guys are getting 40 grand. And then Dana White gives them a $50,000 bonus, and that's supposed to be, you know, whoa, holy cow, $90,000. I'm making a lot of money. Yeah. One time, twice. In the world of the UFC, because of the fact that they put you in death match after death match, there's no way you can continue a run. You just can't. It's almost impossible to build a legacy. I mean, look at it. The heavyweight championship of the world in the UFC, and it was concepted in 1993. The record for title defenses is three. Three. So nobody's defended the title too many times in the UFC as heavyweight champ because of the fact this is it's a death sport. When I say death sport, I don't mean death as far as people dying. I mean as far as careers are concerned. It's just meant they beat each other up to the point where you're only going to last a little bit at the top unless you are the very exception to the rule. The exception to the rule, of course, is people like GSP and John Jones. Maybe Stipe Miocic. But you know, who knows? What I'm trying to tell you is I think in 15 or 20 years from now, when we look back at the world of mixed martial arts, we'll realize that, you know, as I was saying, they're getting 8 to 12. Out of $100, the fighters get $8 to $12. $8 to $12 out of every $100 the UFC brings in. Something's wrong with that, man. And I keep using the comparison. Now, so many people roll over in bed when I say this, but, you know, when I was a cop in San Francisco, somebody working prostitutes, being a pimp, a guy hustling girls on the street, he couldn't get away with paying them $8 to $10 for $100 worth of work. Just couldn't do it. But they can do it in the UFC because it's the only game in town. So Dos Santos and Roznick in a heavyweight three-rounder. Of course, this is on the paid card, the UFC card tonight, coming to you from Las Vegas. Herbert Burns and Daniel Pineda in a catchweight fight, 149.5. Bantamweight fight, John Dodson, pretty good fighter, taking on Merab Dafashil. And, of course, the rest of the card is on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and UFC Fight Pass. I'm looking at the card. I mean, the UFC is rolling out Jim Miller, Cowboy Jim Miller, as far as the main event on the ESPN card is concerned. I mean, that guy's been so long in the tooth. He's, like, older than Fred Mertz and I Love Lucy. I kid you not. The rest of the card, a women's bout on that card. I'm not too high on her, but I've seen her fight a couple of times. Felice Herrig's going to take on Verna Generoba. So they're going to hook it up at 115 pounds, more power to them. The women rocking and rolling tonight on the UFC. Outside of that, no other women fights on the card. Take it back. One more women's fight, a strawweight fight. Also going to go down at 115, I guess, and that's going to be Ashley Yoder taking on Lavia Renato Souza. I guess she's from Brazil, but she sounds like she's from Brazil. Bottom line is the women always deliver. Just like Socrates Palmer said a little bit earlier, if the women in boxing delivered like the women in MMA do, you couldn't wait to turn on the TV to watch boxing. And for some reason, we talked about this for time and so many times in the past, is that, you know, the bat that women swing in baseball, it's a smaller bat. Okay, I mean, the golf course is shorter, the clubs are smaller, the basketball in the WNBA is smaller, but yet they put the same size gloves on women in boxing. It doesn't make any sense. In the UFC, it really doesn't matter because the girls are wearing 4-ounce gloves. With a 4-ounce glove, just about anybody can crack. You know, there's no doubt about that. Imagine Mike Tyson in a 4-ounce glove. Holy cow. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, been rescheduled. Don't hold your breath on that one. I think it's going to be a dog. That's the way it is. I think it's going to be a dog because exhibitions in the past have never lived up to any type of hype. I mean, you want to watch wrestling? WWE. That's sports entertainment. Is that what Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are going to be? Probably. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Oil and Lenny Williams to the break with Tower of Power.
What happens, happens.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, I appreciate it. Say a prayer for me, buddy. And if there's anything I can do for you anytime, you let me know.
Johnny Tapia, may he rest in peace. Of course, February 13, 1967. Passed May 27, 2012, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I used to go down there. He was the king of Albuquerque, no doubt about that. Had the privilege to do some of his fights. The most unpredictable man I've ever been around, ever. You never knew what he was going to say from one sentence to the other, let alone from one question to the other. Bottom line is, may Johnny Tapia rest in peace. Of course, boxing night happening on ESPN, The Zone. Of course, The Zone's got Jessica Brake, Cecilia Brakus. If you like women's boxing, go for it on there. That's The Zone. ESPN's going to go with Frampton Comes Alive. And, of course, we've got Showtime Boxing as well. So the WBC Super Middleweight Championship, I guess, is on the line for one guy, but the other guy missed the weight. Bottom line is, it's irresponsible, totally irresponsible for not showing up at weight when you know you've got a fight. It's like totally, totally irresponsible. I remember the late Prince, Eric the Prince Martin, the San Francisco fighter, of course, that was world-ranked just for a minute. Of course, was the ESPN welterweight champion at one point in time there in the 80s. You know, he used to tell me, lose the weight the night before. Lose the weight the night before. And he's right. Don't get up in the morning and try to lose weight the same day of the fight. You're trying to lose weight. In other words, you go to bed at or near the weight, so when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to expend yourself again, okay? But some guys, you know, I'm going to say they're gluttons for punishment. They won't take care of business. And a couple of times I found myself running in the sun the same day of the fight. In other words, just before the weigh-in, because I was irresponsible. But I was an amateur. I wasn't a professional. Mr. Benavides, there's no excuse. You've had like 23 professional fights. Bottom line is, you're a loser. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. This is a Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. For an hour, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, of course, the Dan Patrick Channel, and 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, that's the Saturday show. The Sunday show, 2 hours, features, of course, the retired HBO godfather himself, Mr. Larry Merchant. Sunday, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 11 a.m. Pacific time, on many of these same stations. Till next time, there's a million things you can be doing right now. The fact you listen to Sports Byline, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Peace, love, and much respect.